Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio, your source for breaking news, business trends, and economic forecasts here and abroad that impact one-third of America's economy. And now your hosts, Lou Weiss and Tim Grady.
Welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio. My name is Tim Grady. I'm here with my co-host, Lou Weiss. And we have got a very interesting show for you today because we're going to be talking about the ISM number with Tim Fiore, who's the committee chair for the ISM's report on business. This is the one that literally the president of the United States waits to see this number come out to see how the country is doing. Lou, it looks like the country is doing well.
So it seems, but our president is on television right now talking about the new Trump NAFTA trade agreement. So
I don't give him the number.
They'll whisper it in his ear.
That's right. Okay. Tim, welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio. We're always glad to have you on the air with us talking about this entire body of work and not just the number. Welcome, Tim.
Good to be here, guys.
So let you share with our listeners the number and then touch on some of the high points that caused it to, and very important for our listeners to understand, to roll up slightly less than last month, but still well into positive territory. Tim?
Right. So the headline, 59.8 on the PMI, 25th straight month of expansion, 15 of 18 reporting, all six contributing. Demand new orders sat at 61.8, which was down 3.3 points from August, but still really strong. 17th straight month of over 60 expansion. Customer inventory is at 40.5, about the same as last month, still very low. And backlog contracting about 2 points from the prior month, but still healthy, which would indicate that we've got some pretty good runway on the demand side going into Q4. So, demand is really, if demand is good, then you can kind of adjust things around that. On the consumption side, production and employment maintained their pace from last month, expansion pace. They were up about a point combined. The production number was the highest of all the PMI sub-indexes. Employment was the highest in the last 4 months. All six big industries contributed. So the story was really around the input side, supplier deliveries. So supplier deliveries and inventories declined a combination 5.5 points. And what that really means is supplier deliveries improved, sped up, which means that the number declined. And on the raw material inventory side, we actually saw a drawdown in raw material inventory accounts to the tune of about 2.1 points, which so I think overall, we had a 5.5 point decline in the input side. I think that's a lot of timing issues. I would expect maybe that next month supplier deliveries will stay about the same, maybe soften a little bit more, but the inventory count should rebound and pass out August's number. So, overall, excellent manufacturing month at 59.8. That's, just shy of 60 and well above the average for the last 12 months. And but I think we've got some adjustments going on here, some normalization, maybe getting closer to equilibrium. We're bouncing across the top around the PMI number, which is really good.
As I was talking with you just before showtime, that even All Metals and Forge Group has shown, and we're now tracking along with the PMI number, as we always have, except for about 2 years, the 17, but this is really terrific. And what I'm sensing is from historical numbers on from All Metals and Forge is that September is the softer number of October, November, and December. So if this is any indication, we're going to have a wow fourth quarter.
Yeah, you bet. I mean, this is the fourth highest PMI number in the last 12 months. I mean, let's put it in its perspective, right?
Sure, absolutely.
Tim, I don't know when the last time, and you might have a better read on it, the last average of 12 months that is as high as the current 59.2.
Yeah, I don't have an exact number, but I would say it's probably definitely not in modern times.
Yeah, I would agree. really, really strong.
Yeah, now who would have thought, right? You know, your low was 57.3 in the last 12 months. Low was 57.3. Jeez.
Yeah, that's amazing. And these numbers coming out of the ISM for the Purchasing Managers Index are just always dead on accurate. So we really appreciate this. What are your respondents saying, Tim?
Yeah, so let's talk a bit about that. So, you know, we're about 25 months here into a typical 37-month cycle. So, you know, I think we still got some good runway. Like I said, we're bouncing across the top at very high levels. And, you know, that means our graph since 2002 that shows the four expansion cycles, we're now creeping up on the number one expansion cycle, which went on for 54 months back in the early 2000s. So we're 25, depending on where you start the start button, to the 25 or 31. So you could easily argue that we got a couple more years here of runway just based on the technicals. You know, the hurricane wasn't mentioned very much as a factor, and not like it was last year. With that just reflects the fact that Texas is such a massive manufacturing state compared to the Carolinas. But there was some comments, but not overwhelming. Looking at some of the numbers here, you can see some signs, though. I mean, our price index declined 5.2 points. First time it was below 70 in, I think, 17 months, which is, you know, pretty significant. I mean, it's a 66.9, 67. That's still a high number. Let's not take our eyes off of that. But I think there's a general acceptance now in the supply community that price increases are kind of here. And, you know, think about the timing that we're in now. We're really at the point in time that everybody is working really diligently on their 19 business plan. And there's a lot of internal stress occurring now with supply managers bringing price growth forward for the 2019 plan, probably general managers and salespeople saying we can't pass that on so easily. Lots of anxiety around that as they negotiate their way through this. I think we kind of get a feeling from the comments that they're not as confident they'll be able to push price increases through to the ultimate customer. And we had some conversations about that already this morning. What does that really mean? Are the supply managers not sure? Is the company not sure? It's not really clear because, like I said, we're in a business planning cycle now, and the salespeople are supposed to represent the customer. So they might just be pushing back because they don't want to go to their customers with price increases. So I think the month of October is going to tell a lot about the economics of what's been happening. You know, the releases of the Q3 earnings calls, and will margins be expanding, or will there be lots of comments about how raw material input impacted their profitability and things. And you know, the optimism about 2019. Everybody in the supply market is very optimistic from a business continuation standpoint at this point, for sure.
That's what we're hearing as well from our clients and the marketplace. But let's talk about tariffs a bit. We don't see much of a bite in terms of the tariffs in your numbers.
So let's talk a little bit about that. All right, so over 50% of our respondents responded around tariffs in our general comments. Same right. As August, same as July. And that number has been rising steadily from 32% back in March. We're now 6 months into the tariff activity, right?
Right.
Look at the export number, and, you know, the export number might be telling a story here. So, you know, I think I reported that we only had two of the big six industry sectors expanding in September. That's down from five in July. Those two represent 38% of manufacturing GDP. July was over 55%. So there's definitely something going on there, and August was 4. So we've had a steady 3-month decline in industries contributing to the expansion side on exports. And, you know, many of them have moved into the same level, which means that they're flat. Transportation equipment, aircraft, trains, automobiles have been in a contracting export market since July. Machinery joined them last month in August, but machinery came back into the same level in September. So there could be a trend here. You know, remember, exports is, what, 14, 18% of manufacturing GDP. And are those contractions being driven because of counter tariffs or general economic slowdowns in Europe and Asia? I don't really know, but it could definitely be a trend there. So, but I think, on the other hand, there were comments around the fact that, okay, we're in the business planning season now, but we're actually taking steps to do something about this. I think there's, like I said earlier, there's a general acceptance of what's existing and what's happening, and people aren't that optimistic that it will get resolved in the short term here. So they're actually taking steps to minimize their exposure to tariffs and counter-tariffs, and that came through loud and clear through several respondents.
We noticed that one of your sectors, the chemical products industries, are stating that it's taking a bite out of profitability, meaning, I think, that they're not raising their prices to their clients as high as they might have, and therefore it's taking a bite out of profits.
That's probably true. I mean, chemical guys tend to, depending on where you are in the chemical stream, they tend to do quarterly prices. So they take the risk in the quarter, you know.
Okay.
So, Tim, I noticed that imports are also growing. They're remaining strong. They haven't collapsed because of the tariffs on goods coming in, but it may still be early stage because some new tariffs have been levied now in September, and they look to go up if things aren't resolved in January. Would you say the imports is reflecting the earlier tariffs, which didn't have big teeth, and not reflecting the new tariffs, which might have bigger teeth?
The comments we had on the import side was that they definitely are expanding. Expansion improved compared to the prior month. Comments really came in around the fact that production demand is up, therefore imports are up. But there was also comments here around the fact that they're accelerating deliveries to beat tariff impacts. So these tariff, counter-tariff issues have been in the wind now for about 3 months, I guess it was, probably June, when that first tranche was announced, and then it had to go out for a waiting period of 60 days. Well, between that announcement and the 60 days, I think a lot of people accelerated whatever they could. So I think we have that going on. If you look at inputs average Q2 versus average Q3, there's a 2.7 point decline in the index. So you look at the 3 months in Q2, 3 months in Q3, subtract the two, and there's your 2.7 decline. So there seems to be there's an impact, obviously, on exports. Seems to be an impact on the import side, too. It would be my conclusion from the data.
Okay.
So all in all, I would say that we're looking at a pretty good opportunity for next year as well. I mean, I'm already done with the fourth quarter, based on this conversation. So is 19 looking that good? You did mention it before that we've got a good cycle going forward for the next couple of years. I don't want to misquote you when I repeat this. So can you confirm that as your opinion?
Well, I mean, I can talk about the history and the technicals like I did about the 24 to 30 month on a 56-month cycle. I think we're catching up to that super cycle in 2002. But remember, that was essentially two cycles combined in one. It was a super cycle and the subprime mortgage cycle. The two of them together was about a 56-month period. I would say, we're subject to what happens here on earnings releases in the month of October, we should continue through. I mean, there's general optimism here on the consumer side for sure. Housing starts have shown some positive signs, although there seems to be some bouncing around in that. I think the sentiment is still good. The only negative that we've had in the economic news here is the trade wars, although it can be really big. It's clearly positive that the Canadian-Mexican United States has resolved their disputes generally. Disappointed that the dispute resolution didn't include steel and aluminum, but something tells me it will, because I can't imagine that we have trading partners where we're still holding that out. So I can only really talk to the next quarter, and with demand being up, backlog being up, production being at a level that seems to be feeding the monster, the engine, then I would say the Q4 is looking pretty good here.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Tim, has the latest Fed rate likely to have any real damaging impact on the economy going forward? I think the Fed is just kind of ratcheting things up carefully underneath a growing economy. My sense of it is that they're not going to clip the wings of the economy with these increases.
Well, you know, there's nothing new on that front. I mean, the thought was that there was two more rate adjustments somewhere back in March, April, May, maybe. The thought was that there would be two more rate adjustments after the one that occurred in the summertime, and they seem to be on that track. So, and you know, money hasn't gotten so expensive that people aren't investing. I'm very hopeful to see the semiannual. We're getting ready to send the semiannual out, and we'll be reporting on that, I think, in November. So I'm really, really anxious to see, and that's comprehensive, more comprehensive than the one that we do in the May timeframe. So we'll do a reassessment for 2019. We'll do a look forward on 2018 reassessment. 2019 look forward. It'll include outlook, price growth, business revenue growth, profitability, capacity expansion, you know, all really good stuff. So, you know, I'll start to see those numbers in mid-November, I think. But everything is looking positive here. I don't see that the Fed's going to do anything to slow things down. You know, I think it's probably appropriate at this time. So the only thing we got to migrate our way through here is the tariff issues.
And I know that when we used to speak with Brad Holcomb, your predecessor as committee chair, he used to take new orders, subtract inventories, and anything above 5 was a good number. And I guess we're above 5 at about, what am I looking at here, 8.5?
Yeah, we'll see. Subtract inventories?
From new orders, right.
Yeah.
I know he
definitely. Yeah, we're definitely above 5.
Yeah, very strong. Is there anything that, you know, that was kind of Brad's measure from a supply chain expert over the years that he looked for in this report? Tim, do you look for anything as you're developing this report from your background and experience that kind of either makes the hair stand up in the back of your neck or gives you a warm fuzzy?
Well, you know, I think the PMI is like a magical number, right? Each of the 5 sub-indexes is equally weighs into that PMI number. But the number isn't equivalent to every number because it's made up of 5 indexes. So, you know, what I tend to look at is the movements under the 5. And I have those 5 bucketed into 3, right? Demand, consumption, and input. And this is really an input month in terms of holding back the PMI number because the inputs is what declined. So, you know, new orders up, production, consumption being strong, production and employment making up consumption, supply delivery slacking off a little bit, I think, due to timing. That's kind of the way I look at it. And the other indexes support those primes. Customer inventory supports new orders, backlog supports new orders, new export orders clearly is a reflection of the new order element, imports is inputs, and the prices give you a feel for the overall economy. So I think we got a little bit of a softening here, and I think the supplier deliveries getting more into a reasonable range could indicate that we're hitting an equilibrium.
Well, that's certainly incredibly strong, and we're glad that the equilibrium is 59.2 over 12 months, because that takes us into a territory of continued growth. Anything else in particular in the report that our listeners ought to look for? And by the way, for our listeners, this report is at instituteforsupplymanagement.org under their news and research. We always do 2 reports with the ISM. One is the manufacturing, one is the non-manufacturing. Tim, what's the big takeaways from this report?
Yeah, so, you know, for those people who like to look at the fundamentals, so and we've already talked about the tariff issue. Let's talk about transportation. So I tend to look at the supplier delivery comments to get a real good feel on the transportation piece because they don't generally jump out as a high percent on the general side. But we 25% in September, same as in August, down from 33% in July. So transportation driver shortages, equipment shortages, unreliable transporters, or, you know, not showing up on time or not getting to the right location, still kind of continues to feed through the report. It's not really going away, although it's slightly down from the peak that it was at in July. On the lead time side, lead time is not a very good thing, especially with a cyclical business like we're in here. I mean, one of the great things that makes the PMI what it is that it's cyclic, but it does tend to end with a falling off a cliff, and the longer lead times that you have building up to that cliff event, the more scurrying there is throughout the supply chain to sell inventory and not get stuck with stuff that's obsolete. So we had 20% of our supplier delivery comments focus around lead time, down from 23 in August, but generally it's been running around 20% comments around having to deal with lead times that are being pushed out, and that, of course, impacts, accuracy and fidelity in the manufacturing plan. And the lead time extension is never a good thing unless you love backlog. We already talked about the import piece. Inventory piece, slower growth, I think, due to shortages. We talked a bit about the fact that suppliers improved their delivery performance, but the inventory account didn't really reflect that. I think we're going to see that kind of happen in October. The tariff impact accelerations that occurred on the import side kind of didn't have a big impact on the inventory account because it didn't stay very long. But so overall, the suppliers are not able to keep up, which is negatively impacting the inventory growth, which I'm hoping we'll see turn around in October. Of the big six, I think computers was the strongest, followed by food and beverage and machinery. And, I mean, the food and beverage piece had not really been contributing very much to the PMI for several months. And it started to come back in the August time frame, and it definitely came back in the September time frame. So it's one of the industry sectors I don't have a lot of direct experience in, but I do know it's made a move, and it tends to be 11 or 12% of manufacturing GDP, which when it moves, it tends to affect the PMI number. Our seasonality factors weren't really were positive to the raw numbers, but they weren't significantly positive, so not that big of a factor. And I think, like we had said earlier, we started this year with a synchronous global economy. We're not there now. U.S. is still doing well. China is still struggling, and for a number of factors, Europe is nowhere near the expansion levels we are. The 4% or so that we're sitting at. But there's some early signs that we might see some struggling here, and the early signs are really the export decline and the fact that price pressure is decreasing a bit and the suppliers are able to deliver faster. Those to me would be early signs that maybe things are hitting a different level.
So what's the supply chain chatter, Tim? If I'm a supply chain manager talking to other supply chain managers, what am I concerned about?
Well, growth, supporting the business plan, being able to accurately predict price growth for 2019 based on what's happened in 2018. I think when we did the May checkup on the semi-annual, I think we thought there was going to be 5% price growth 2017 to 2018. I think we started the year, I'm going to say it was at 2%. That's what we predicted last fall, and we jumped to 5, I think, in May. So now the real question is, what do you stake your business plan on? Is it going to continue at the same level of expansion, or is it going to be flat 2019 and 2018? A lot of the stuff that is being talked about is a run rate that increased through the year, and depending on the industry that you're in, tending to level out exclusive of seasonality factors. And that I think the first 6 months of 2019 are all predicted to be at a sustainable level that we're kind of at now and as we close the year. I haven't heard anybody really say that things are going to decline in the first 6 months. I don't know that companies are willing to really predict much beyond that with any sense of surety. But, they're going forward with a business plan to their boards within the next month or so, and they're going to have to do that prediction. So I think people are feeling that the level that we're at is probably the level that we're at, and we're going to get 12 months of that. And we really didn't get 12 months at the level that we're at now. There was definitely a growth that occurred in the Q1.
Just to kind of wrap this up, Tim, you made an interesting comment. I just want to make sure our listeners and I heard it right. You said that these events, these cycles tend to end with going off a cliff, and that's certainly the case that All Metals and Forge Group has experienced over the years. That, you know, when the spigot shuts off, it just shuts off. It can be sometimes terribly unpredictable, and it just stops. Is that the experience from the PMI reports over the past decades, if you look back on them, that the cycle just has quite a sudden end?
Yeah, you can pretty much see it in our back to 2002. Some of the cliffs are steeper than others, and some of the ramp-ups are steeper than others. That's what I think. That's why I think this economic growth that started 26 to 30 months ago is such high quality, because it didn't spike up immediately and then run across the top and come down slightly and go back up like the number one cycle back in 02, 03. This ramp up has been occurring at about a 45 degree angle, which and in the other ones is more like a 70. So this is a really mm-hmm. good, and then the expansion that never was even worse than a 45. But this feels like a, you know, high quality cycle, and what will knock it off? It's a trajectory. I don't know that I can predict that, but I think the supply managers who are reporting are pretty optimistic about the future. And I think the numbers kind of support that. And, you know, we are dealing with the tariff issues. That's the only issue really that tends to be, appears to be impacting growth in the United States in the near term. And you carry that over to the international economies. Are they being limited by the tariffs, or are they being limited by other issues? It's a good question that I'm not really prepared to answer. But, you know, outside of that, then this growth potential should continue, and will continue to be challenged to meet the factory demand and, you know, the company's requirements for revenue and profit expansion. It's going to be, I mean, we're hitting Q3. The earnings calls are going to tell a lot. If we can't push the price increases through, then, you know, productivity or revenue scale has got to pick up the difference here for the companies to maintain, you know, highly profitable 2018. And into 2019.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lou, I don't know that it gets better than that.
I don't know. It's almost like we don't have anything to talk about here. this is good stuff, and we may do even something special on our website regarding this report, which only came to me about 30 seconds ago. So be on the lookout for that. And Tim, we love having you on, especially when you have all good news, or mostly good news. So thank you for being with us.
Yeah, you bet. It's good to be here.
We've been talking with Tim Fiore, who is the committee chair for the Institute for Supply Management's Manufacturing Business Survey Committee. They come out with the ISM report every month, the first working day of the month, shortly after 10 a.m., they share the PMI number with us. It's a vital and critical report. We encourage everyone to go to the manufacturing, the Institute for Supply Management website, instituteforsupplymanagement.org. And you can also find the non-manufacturing report there as well. So check out both reports, because the two of them together make up the economy as it's viewed by the supply chain managers. So, Lou, that kind of wraps us up for this episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio. It's been a terrific report.
Well, thank you for being here, Tim. And Tim is here in New Jersey this week. He comes up to get a beating every now and again.
That's right.
So, Tim Fiore, it's a pleasure having you on as always. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, guys. Talk to you next month. See you.
You got it.
All right, talk to you soon. And if you would like to hear this show or any of our other shows, they are at mftalkradio.com. You can also find our sister show there, which is Women and Manufacturing, at womenandmfg.com. Building a beautiful body of shows there, of great information that you should tap into. And thank you again for listening to Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Thanks for joining us on Manufacturing Talk Radio. You can hear our next broadcast each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at mfgtalkradio.com.